Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What does a worldview mean, and how does it change your perspective of reality? Everyone has a worldview. Whether you know it or not, whether you're consistent in your thinking or not, you have some kind of worldview. The two real differences in worldviews are, is there a God or is there not? There's lots of permeations that come off of that, but it has a huge difference in law and policy and how you make your decisions. Is there ultimately God or is there not? We're going to be talking about the impact of worldview on faith and freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com. Matt, at Liberty University School of Law, when I was dean there, and certainly as a continuation of what the law school is doing, we were very interested in discovering and exploring worldviews, very serious in taking worldview specifically in consideration, and understanding what a worldview is and how it ultimately affects your thinking. It literally is, so to speak, a foundation from which you view the world, or the glasses or lenses through which you view the world. And it makes a huge difference. Lots of times you can talk about all these different so-called worldviews like Marxism and socialism and all these other isms. And those are permeations of worldviews, but the two different kinds of worldviews, if you're really making a distinction, there's really only two. There's a worldview that presupposes that there is a God. There's a worldview that presupposes that there is no God, and everything then flows from that. And that presupposition, that position, is there a God or is there not, affects everything from thereafter.
Well, one worldview says that God is the measure of all things. The other worldview says that man is the measure of all things. And under that worldview that says man is the measure of all things, and as you mentioned, are all of these isms. They're different permeations. You have, you know, socialism, communism, Marxism, globalism, statism. All of these things say we are a nation or a world ruled by man. And that morality is subjective, is relative, and that man, you know, what's true for one person may not be true for another. And we've seen how that worldview plays out. You need only look to Joseph Stalin's Russia. You need only look to Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany, Pol Pot, on and on. These humanist, man is the measure of all things tyrants have led to the deaths of hundreds of millions of innocent people around the world over the centuries. And most of these deaths, many of these deaths occurring in the 20th and 21st centuries. So that's really what it boils down to. The other worldview saying God is the measure of all things. There are objective standards. We are all accountable to God and His word, and that there is fixed right or wrong and fixed truth.
Well, if you have a worldview with God, then there is a creation, the grid essentially for a theistic worldview is that there is a creation because there is a creator. God is the creator. And then also, in addition to that, there is, in our understanding, a past and a future. It affects the fact that there is objective reality, that there is some kind of order to the universe because there is a creator. And in fact, some of the early scientists, Albert Einstein and some of the other scientists, they ultimately assumed that there was a God, and therefore they believed that there was order in the universe because there was a creator. So they could bang their head against the wall and they could spend hours and hours and hours trying to figure something out, knowing that they were able to ultimately pursue a path to learn the mysteries of the universe because there was a design and a creation. Now, if you're in a worldview where there is no creator and it is random, it's happenstance, there's no ultimate order, there's no ultimate beginning, there's no ultimate end, then to pursue ideas, scientific ideas, could be like running around in a maze because you don't know that you're going to actually used your time and your invention and your thought process have any benefit, because there is no order to the universe and you can't figure anything out because it makes no sense. So even within the scientific community, sometimes people say, well, religion is anti-scientific. No, religion is what ultimately gave birth to some of the greatest scientific discoveries in the world, because of the idea that the people believed that there was a God and there was a creation and there was order to the universe because there was God.
And out of those great scientists, they arrived at these laws of nature and of nature's God, as are the great scientists referred to them. And out of those laws, you know, for there to be laws, there has to be a lawgiver. And out of those laws come order. That you see the order in the design of, in the materialist worldview, the evidence of God is self-evident. The laws and the lawmaker, the lawgiver, are self-evident even in the materialist worldview that says, no, you only have the material, and they observe and view these laws and see how this design works and how the design was engineered, the design of the universe, all the way down to the microbiological, all the way up to the aspects of the universe that we have no knowledge about whatsoever as mankind. Well, out of the worldview that says, there is, you know, no order, I mean, it comes chaos. The materialist worldview that says there is no lawgiver. If there is no law, then there is chaos. There is anarchy.
And you look at some of these dictators over time, Mussolini, you have Stalin, Pol Pot, these individuals that led these very oppressive cultures and governments to literally slaughter and kill people. One of the things that they ultimately did, for example, in the former Soviet Union, when it came into power and it was a socialist regime, that particular institution and Marxist in its orientation, that particular ideology and every other one, Pol Pot and others, what did they first want to do to eliminate? They wanted to eliminate the Christian churches. They wanted to eliminate Christianity. In fact, even in the former Soviet Union, Ronald Reagan has a great radio program on this about how they began to change the Christian celebrations of Christmas. And so they began to take Christian songs and secularize them. And over time, they were beginning to sing not about Christmas and the birth of Christ, but about the revolution and the celebration of communism. They want to remove Christianity. They want to remove this idea of God, because the idea of God stands in the way of these Marxist, socialist, repressive regimes.
Well, that's right, because in their eyes, government is God. And so they must do away with the inherent worth of the individual human being. Yeah, that's why they're called collectivists. That's why you hear it's communism, communal communism. It's the value of the collective versus the value of the individual. The Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, says that we are all individually, uniquely created in the image and likeness of God, the creator. The collectivist, all of the isms we're talking about here, that worldview says no, the import of the collective supersedes the rights of the individual. This enables that worldview to dehumanize, which every one of these tyrannical regimes over the years, Stalin and Pol Pot and Hitler and all of these people we're talking about here, they have had to do. They have had to dehumanize individuals so that the collective, the masses, will accept the persecution and the destruction and death and murder of hundreds of millions of individuals. The non-Christian worldview is a scary worldview.
You know, one of the things that we see happening in our country with regards to our freedoms and our judiciary is now based on this evolutionary model. It was intentionally so back in the 1800s when Harvard began to change the teaching philosophy so that there is no objective reality and that law evolves. I would encourage you to think about, read books that talk about worldview. Chuck Colson has books on that subject matter, and there's other good books out there as well that Chuck Colson co-authored with others, but there's many others. Take a look at what your worldview is. Think about what kind of worldview you are operating from. And even though you may be a Christian and your worldview is that there is a God, flesh out that worldview so that you understand why things should happen, why you should make a decision this way or educate you on this and other issues. One book that I think you will enjoy from the human interest story and also the issues that are presented is by the Benham Brothers, David and Jason, Whatever the Cost. It is a riveting book. I encourage you to go there. At Liberty Counsel, we operate within a Judeo-Christian worldview. It makes a difference in how we see the world to defend and advance our faith, our freedom, the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, and the family. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.